Hello, this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief of Directions Magazine. Today's Special Topics podcast is all about unmanned aerial systems. And to get an inside look at the applications and the equipment, I spoke with Thomas Larson, Marketing Director of Trimble Survey, and Martin Vanderbroek, President of Gatewing, the provider of the X-100 unmanned aerial vehicle. Trimble recently bought Gatewing, and I think you'll find this interview especially useful as the market is set to rapidly expand. Stay tuned.
Well, today we're talking with Thomas Larson, Marketing Director for Trimble Survey, and Martin Vandenbroek, President of Gatewing. We're going to talk a little bit about the acquisition of Gatewing by Trimble. So thanks, Thomas and Martin, for joining me today. It's great to have you.
Thanks, Joe.
You're very welcome. We're pleased to be here as well.
So the unmanned aerial system market seems to be exploding with many suppliers of equipment coming from Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. So if you could just give me a sense of the catalyst that has really allowed the market to reach its current status, and what do you see perhaps within the next 2 to 3 years for unmanned aerial systems?
Yeah, so from Trimble's perspective, over the past 5 or 6 years or so, we've seen quite an increasing activity in the UAS area. We're going to shows on a global, surveying shows on a global basis, and we've seen more and more UAVs or UAS being displayed at these shows. My background in surveying is from education, basically, and in the 90s when I went to university in Sweden, we did look into ultralight platforms for photogrammetry, and I clearly remember the conclusion being that it was just not possible to do it because of the size of the planes and the instability and the software. Since then, clearly, a lot has happened in electronics and software, and the way I look at it, it's really over the past four or five years that it's been possible to build this based on technology developments. So that's really what we've seen, and it's such a good fit with the survey and mapping industry. So now that it's starting to be possible, there's a lot of people seeing the potential applications with it.
I totally agree with that. So I think if you broaden it up a little bit, I think the reasons or the motivation behind this is threefold. That at one hand, you indeed had the technological progress that was very military-driven and that all of a sudden became accessible also in the commercial markets. Next to that, you had the worldwide regulatory frameworks that were starting to become more tolerant towards unmanned aircraft and civil airspace. And third, and maybe most important, was the economic driver, where people, where the market is actually becoming more and more demanding for very accurate and fast delivery of aerial imagery and topographic data. At least that is how we see it here.
So in terms of the U.S. market, it's been relatively slow to adapt. And is this primarily due to the Federal Aviation Administration's regulations for certification, or are there other considerations? Certainly, you know, Gatewing appears to operate in airspace allowable, similar to radio-controlled aircraft. So maybe what needs to happen in the U.S. is for the market to approach what it is in other places globally. So I'd be curious to your comment about that.
My view is that there is a very large interest in UAS in the U.S., and from my perspective, the FAA regulations and the unclarity around it is absolutely the key factor holding adoption back at this point in time.
Yeah, and I again totally agree. It's you cannot really say that the market is slow to adapt. There is such a tremendous enthusiasm from the U.S. markets about this product, and so many people want to get started, but we are simply, as an industry and as a market, waiting for the FAA to clear the skies, literally, and set up a regulatory framework for us to operate in civil airspace. Now, important to understand is that even though the UAVs are very similar and in physical dimensions as an RC plane, a remote control plane, it is in fact a proper aircraft and a regulatory sense of the words, and has to be confirmed all aircraft specifications. And this also has to be certified by FAA.
Right. So, Mark, what was it in the rest of the world, in Europe in particular, that allowed the market to grow a little bit faster there? What was the regulatory situation there that maybe allowed that to prosper a little bit more and more quickly?
Well, it is my conviction that the main driver for authorities to open up is actually an economical driver. If you look at Australia, they already had a UAV operator training program since the early 2000s. Similarly, in Europe, there are some specific countries, like, for example, the Netherlands, that were also very progressive, which I think has organically grown out of economic demands from people starting to use this type of technology. And the same actually accounts also for the Scandinavian countries. The thing is, though, that in my opinion, there is such a high interest in the U.S., there is such a high potential for application in the U.S., that the government is very well aware that once they open the gates, there's going to be a literal flood of UAVs in the air. So it's maybe even more important in the U.S. and in other places to really think this through very properly.
Let me take you to some more of the nuts and bolts issues. So the ability to launch quickly and capture geo-rectified imagery over a limited area is certainly, you know, a radical change in the mindset of how imagery can be acquired in the applications thereof. So what cautionary guidelines can you offer to, say, place some bounds around the applications? As you said, there may be a flood of things coming abound, when the skies do open up. So, you know, where does a gateway apparatus end and maybe give some cautionary notes about the U.S. technology in general?
So I think it's important to remember a few things from Trimble's perspective, at least. The first step is that we did not go about and acquire a plane. If we wanted to just have a plane, Trimble could have probably built that themselves. We acquired an organization that is able to build UAS for a variety of applications. The X100 is a first plane from Gatewing, but there's certainly possibilities for other types of airplanes or quadcopters, et cetera, for different applications. You can't just look at the X100 when you think about what the bounds of the applications are. Certainly, so that's one part of the thing. We don't think or we don't see that UAVs, UAS are going to replace traditional photogrammetry or traditional surveying technologies. It simply opens up an ability to get into applications or situations that is hard to address with those two technologies. If you compare it to traditional photogrammetry, you can more cost-effectively get to smaller sites and more repeated measurements than you can do with traditional photogrammetry because of the cost of deploying such a proper plane or a big plane for traditional photogrammetry. If you compare it to traditional surveying techniques, you can really get bigger areas much, much faster. It's on a point level, the accuracy is obviously not the same as with a total station or a GPS receiver. But if you look at volume calculations or creating a DTM, the accuracy is actually better with a UAS system because you get a better coverage basically for those kind of applications. Mm-hmm. But you have to be aware of the difference between point accuracy it's a little bit different thinking about photogrammetry than it is to think about point by point.
It is indeed different than conventional photogrammetry, and it is also indeed very different than traditional surveying technology. And within its own domain, I would like to add that even though the product looks very simple or appears to be conceived in a very simple way, it is actually quite challenging technology. And not even technology, also the science behind the aerodynamics is much more difficult than it would appear at first sight. So people often ask us, why don't you make it fly 10 times longer and stuff like that? But that obviously has very strong implications on the actual device that you are offering the market. So in terms of coverage areas that you can scan, it would be nicer to be able to go for multiple square miles in one flight, but that will also make it a very heavier and less user-friendly product, for example, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think, you know, what Thomas was saying as well, there had to be some consideration as to repeatability in almost a near real-time acquisition window where the product lends itself most well. So I think to your point, what it seems to be is that, you know, you had to construct a product of somewhat more sophistication for the market needs. And it may not appear that way when you look at the X100. So I think your point is well taken. So when you looked at that, where did you draw your bounds between what Gatewing has and what some of the larger UAVs, you know, potentially even some of the military-grade UAVs would deliver?
Well, for us, it was very important that this UAV can be deployed by one person. Ideally, you do it with two people, but when necessary, or not even in a strict necessity, it's very doable to deploy it as a single-man operation. Also, the people we are working with, our customers, they are not aviation enthusiasts. So they're not formally schooled within aviation, so they cannot be bothered with a lot of technical aviation aspects. So we want to take that away from their experience as much as possible. And that is something that you will not find in traditional UAVs that typically stem from military backgrounds. And that lies in very simple things that are easy to overlook. For example, the amount of moving parts in our plane is very much limited. It's not a conventional plane with tails and rudders. No, it only has a left and a right aileron and one propeller. And that already makes it easier in maintenance and in overall use.
And Thomas, you mentioned something regarding the fact that you acquired Gatewing because, you know, you're acquiring essentially an organization. And if you wanted to, you could have built, you know, a plane yourself. So was there some future applications or markets that you saw, some applications that you thought that the platform can deliver that, you know, maybe we're not seeing now, but that you're seeing in the future?
So I think there's a lot of potential application, right? So don't get me wrong. I don't think it would be easy for Trimble to build a UAS at all in any way, shape, or form. I'm just saying if it was a matter of building one piece of equipment, we could have taken another route potentially. But we went with Gatewing not only because we like their current solution, but also because we like their organization and their ability to deliver in the future as well. It's very early days for this technology, right? So I think we're a long way from investigating all potential applications in this space. And only one part of that will even be anywhere near what Trimble is in the business of doing. You can put all sorts of different kinds of sensors on a flying platform, of course.
I think one statement that we can make is that both Gatewing and Trimble are determined to be and remain an important player within that market.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that really brings me to a final question in kind of a much broader space, is that UAS has opened up a real different market for Earth observation technology. I mean, you just said it, that maybe the applications really have yet to be thought of. Mm-hmm. We only think of some initial, you know, mapping applications, but it really does extend to other platforms, other sensor technologies. And so I wonder if your observation of the Earth observation market, all the way from small UAVs all the way up to small satellites with, you know, relatively limited payloads, not the larger Earth observation systems that we see today. So, you know, I'm just curious about your perspective of where you think the market for imagery in general may be headed and with certain spatial or spectral resolution demands of the market down the road.
In general, Joe, I think from a philosophical vision and from a technology base, literally everything is possible. But we have to be very practical here and pragmatic, and also respect the natural evolution of technological developments and market acceptance. There are a few instances of larger UAVs for photogrammetric purposes, but the deployment of those devices is a few orders of magnitude more complex than a deployment at current of a small UAV. That makes that there is no economical basis to start making and selling those kind of products, if you know what I mean. And the same accounts for small satellites. I think we are all aware of the cost of putting satellites in orbit. They are there, but again, it has to be an economical, viable proposition in order for the world, for society to start using those kinds of technology.
Yeah, and if you look at imagery in general, right? So cameras have certainly been improving over a fairly long time, and now we're kind of in the world where the developments of software around imagery is happening very rapidly. I would say it's really boomed over the past few years. What people are able to do with images using clever software. So I absolutely believe that there's a strong future for imagery in general in the positioning world for the future. Exactly how that gets deployed and how that gets used, it's hard to say. Like Martin says, setting up a satellite for private use, so to speak, I don't see that happening in a very long time. On the other hand, is there a market for companies, maybe like Trimble, to do something like that? Who knows? I can't see that happening right now, but the future is the future.
Yeah, it just may seem that what you're able to provide and what the satellite providers do may be blurring a little bit. People will begin to want, I think, real-time imagery. They'll want repeat coverage, and that's certainly where the market for UAS seems to be.
I would just say, Joe, give us a couple of years. We're working on it, okay?
That's good. Well, I want to thank you both. This has been a great discussion. I really appreciate you taking the time to discuss the Gatewing acquisition by Trimble and the whole UAS market.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on another Directions Magazine podcast. If you'd like to comment, please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks again, and be sure to tell a friend.